AutoLine Daily is brought to you by BorgWarner. Feel good about driving. Bridgestone. Your journey. Our passion. Dow Automotive Systems. Improving durability and increasing design flexibility with Betamate structural adhesives at DowBetamate.com. And by Hyundai. New thinking, new possibilities.
Welcome to AutoLine Daily. I'm Christy Swinesburg from Ward's Auto, filling in for John with a special announcement coming up. But first, let's get to the news. And we start off with Chrysler, which just posted its first quarter earnings. During the first 3 months of the year, the group sold 621,000 vehicles, up 10% from a year ago. That helped boost the company's revenue to nearly $19 billion, a gain of 23%. Its operating profit shot up close to 35%, hitting $586 million. But despite all those gains, Chrysler's bottom line took a huge hit during the first quarter, with a net loss of $690 million. While it looks bad, Chrysler says the loss is due to payments to the union's Viva Healthcare Fund and a memorandum of understanding it signed with the UAW to support the company's world-class manufacturing program. Just last week, we reported that GM's Executive Director of Global Vehicle Integration, Jim Federico, was retiring from the company, and he's already landed a new job. Federico is the new Vice President of Engineering for Harley-Davidson, and according to its spokesperson, the bike maker had been talking with Jim about the position for some time. The move takes place June 2nd. Tesla is shifting its focus over to the Chinese market, and the electric car maker is looking to win over its Shanghai customers' hearts through their pocketbooks. Each new Model S sold in the city comes with a free license plate. Now, normally that might not sound like a great incentive, but plates can run upwards of $15,000 in Shanghai. The free license plate was originally for Chinese-made EVs only, but the government has made an exemption to allow Tesla and other automakers to sell 3,000 EVs with the free license plate. After that, the automaker will have to go back to the Shanghai government to ask for more. But if China is really dedicated to reducing pollution through tailpipe emissions, then I think it will award more plates. Automakers like Ford and GM are working on 10-speed transmissions, and now Volkswagen is getting into the mix. The new DSG unit will replace the current 6-speed DSG transmission, will be used in both transverse and longitudinal engine applications, and will be capable of handling almost 370 pound-feet of torque. No word yet on which vehicle will be the first to use the new transmission. Coming up next, a chat with the first BMW i3 owner in the United States.
Dow Automotive Systems, driving solutions in automotive, commercial transportation, and aftermarket with innovative products like Betamate structural adhesives. Lighter, stronger, safer. DowBetamate.com.
Earlier this month, BMW delivered the first electric i3 in the U.S. Here's John's interview with that customer to find out what he thinks of the car so far.
I'm talking right now with Charlie Rabby, the first owner of a BMW i3 in the American market. Charlie, I have to ask you, what's it like to be the first owner of an i3?
Now, that's a great question. You know, it's a great privilege, and I really enjoyed the event that was sponsored by BMW. So they made a big deal of it, so it's even that much better.
Have you owned electric cars before, or is this your first?
I have indeed. So I had the Active E, which was the experimental predecessor to the i3. So this was a logical next step for me.
Was it that drove you to get an i3? I mean, why not a Tesla Model S or a different electric car?
It's a great question. I was looking for an electric car that was really designed from the ground up to be electric. And having an Active E really meant that I had a BMW 1 Series that was basically stripped down and stuffed with batteries in all the wrong places. And as such, it was a rather portly car and still a lot of fun to drive, but not really designed from the ground up. And yes, Tesla was definitely a candidate, but price and availability really didn't suit my needs. And I opted for a less expensive and very robust car, I must say. I'm very impressed so far.
I've driven the i3 myself. I'm very impressed by the car. Do you ask, or do you mind me asking, what you paid for it?
My price, including all the options, was in the mid-40s. So I got a couple of the packages that were available, and I don't regret it. The car looks just so sharp, and it drives tremendously.
Is this your only car, or can you live with an electric car in the range that it provides?
No, it's a second car. And you raise a great point. So from my perspective anyway, you've got to think about these cars as second cars or maybe your primary car, but you do need to buy another one. We like to travel on the weekends, lifestyle thing. And we like to get away more than 100 miles at a time. So you don't fly a regional jet across the Atlantic and hope to land on the other side. So we don't do that either and never have range anxiety as such.
I love your analogy there. What drove you to really become enamored with electric cars? What is it about them?
Well, I think that there was a lot of great things that that electric car had to offer to us. I mean, so we're not really green buffs. It was just a great fit with lifestyle. My wife and I typically drive under 100 miles a day, and we enjoy the fact that we have a car that never sees a gas station. We can whip around all over town, pull into the driveway at night and plug it in and not have to think about it. And that's just a tremendous benefit. We love that.
Well, Charlie, I got to tell you, it's really fascinating for me to talk to somebody who bought the first i3. And I'll bet you get a lot of pleasure out of driving it. In the little test drive I had with it, I thought it was a blast to drive.
Oh, yes. In fact, it is a wonderful car to drive. I think, as I say, I heard one of the talks that occurred on your program regarding weight. So the fact that this car is 30% lighter really has improved performance and maneuverability. And there's a lot of other benefits. And I don't want to underestimate the value of having a brand like BMW and its dealerships and everything behind you. It's nice to see a major car maker like BMW enter this market. Now, of course, the look may not be exactly what sports car enthusiasts are looking for. And BMW will pitch it as futuristic. So other people might pitch it as the ugly duckling. But I probably rest somewhere in between. And it actually is very roomy and spacious inside. And you have a nice feel to the car. When you get behind it, you know you're behind a BMW.
Charlie, again, thanks for your time today talking about your experience as the first owner of an i3 in the American market.
Thank you so much, John.
AutoLine was kind enough to give me a couple seconds here to plug Ward's Auto's 6th Annual Interiors Conference coming up next Wednesday, May 21st, here in the Detroit area. And if you like auto interiors, want to know what's going on now, or what's coming up in the future, then this is where you'll want to be. It's a day-long event filled with experts talking about innovative materials, the human-machine interface, the future of luxury, and much more. And when you're talking interiors, you can't have many better keynote speakers than General Motors design guru Ed Welburn and Chrysler's interior wizard Klaus Busse. All that, plus an opportunity to personally check out our Best Interiors Award winners like the Rolls-Royce Wraith, which will be on site. So if you'd like to join us, please go to autointeriors.com for any and all information. Again, that's Wednesday, May 21st, for the 6th Annual Ward's Auto Interiors Conference. And that wraps up today's AutoLine Daily. I'm Christy Swinesburg from Ward's Auto. Have a great day.